everybody. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. We are back. We're back. Back in the...
Back in the Dateline groove. I'm back. Back in the Dateline groove. Is that what you're trying to sing?
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
I love that song.
Thank you for allowing us to take breaks lately. We've been taking some breaks. We've had family things and commitments and life.
Also just like a normal job.
Katie still has not gotten to have a vacation because every time we take a week off, she has something else major going on.
But you know what? I will, because we may be going on the Traders Cruise, which even if we don't go, I'm looking at it as we're maybe going to go. And that's enough excitement to tide me over.
That's not till next year.
I mean, I'm looking to the future, Kimberly.
Okay. We have CrimeCon coming up. And
oh, that's good, too.
That'll be fun. Come see us in Nashville. Use our code DATE. You can come by yourself and make friends. And it's going to be amazing. So we are back with such an episode. So Dateline was a repeat this Friday, but we are doing one that everyone asked us to cover. It is called The Perfect Life. And it originally aired February 16th, the month before last. This was originally called Secret Lives, and we did it on February 18th, 2018. Did you remember this case?
Remy?
Yeah.
Ramsaram.
Yeah.
The name I remembered.
Okay.
And I was like, we had to have done this. And then we got to a few key facts, which I will point out as you say them. And then there was one point that I was really sure.
Good.
But it was early-ish. It was in the first 15 minutes.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, that's not bad. Also, this is a shocking case, and I'm really excited to talk to you about it.
It's so fascinating and wild. This is season 32, episode 27, and it's hosted by Andrea, and it was hosted by Andrea back in 2018 when she had the Rachel haircut and looked adorable. And now she has a different haircut, still looks adorable.
Yeah.
Hasn't aged in all that time. I've never seen an episode of Dateline start like this. We are smack in the middle of an interview with Remy Ramsaram. And Andrea Canning asks him, has anyone ever described you as quirky or odd or a goofball? And I felt like that was a personal attack. Yes, Andrea, they have. But this is not about me. This is about Remy. And he says, yes, absolutely.
This was the one time where I feel like she is using really nice terms for standing in for other words that she could be saying. This would be the time when I think, did we discuss it the first time? The term a bit much would come into play in this.
My favorite expression that's ever been used against me.
Kimberly, this is a really good example of that. So that should make you feel good.
Right.
Because clearly,
I'm not this.
You and Remy are not the same.
Thank you. Andrea says, at Dateline, we meet a lot of big talkers, but few as big as Remy. Then we cut to him and he's saying, I can talk to anyone. Ask me anything. I had the perfect life, which is our title of the episode. Then we cut to his most recent interview. So that was the old interview from 2018. Then we cut to the new interview and he's looking all pale and sweaty and like he maybe has scurvy and he's screaming at Andrea. So we are in for a ride of an episode or a jog of an episode. So let's jump right in. But they're giving us like tastes of it at the very beginning because they're like, this is gold. We just have to do this at the beginning. So we rewind back to December 2012 in a small town called New Berlin in upstate New York. Remy Ramsaram calls 911 to report his wife, Jen, is missing. And right away, his quivery voice sounds so fake to me. He's doing a lot of up speaking, up talking.
Oh.
He's like, I'm really worried. No one's heard from her. This is not like her.
I missed that.
Yeah. Every single sentence.
Okay. Interesting.
No one has heard from her. I've called people. I called her cell phone.
But I'm wondering if in his head, like, genuine concern sounds like.
Right. Yes.
And it's not. I don't know where he got that, though.
And it's a little quivery, like, no one has heard from her. And I don't know where she is.
Oh, boy. I don't like that.
No.
That's creepy.
Remy tells Andrea Canning that he took the kids to school that morning. He got back and his wife, Jen, was eating Chobani yogurt and Kashi cereal while playing around on her iPod Touch.
It's too many brands. It's way too specific.
Way too much detail.
And also, are you sponsored?
Yeah.
Hashtag not sponsored. Why are you dropping these names? And also, is Chobani yogurt... Sorry, I haven't bought yogurt in a long time. Is it expensive? Is it the expensive yogurt?
It sounds fancy and expensive. I don't think it's, is it the one in the glass jars? Because that's the really expensive kind.
I think that's oui.
Oh, oui.
I think it's O-U-I. I could be wrong, but I feel like Chobani and Kashi are maybe more than Yoplait and Honey Smacks, which feels like he's trying to kind of do a flex here, a really weird breakfast flex.
Is he like, look how healthy she is?
Breakflex. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But it's way too much detail. And that's the start of, he's an oversharer and he even says that. So every detail is included. I'm surprised we did not learn about the amazing BM she had after such a hearty breakfast.
I don't feel like oversharer is at all what he is. I feel like Remy really likes to hear himself talk. What's that called?
Narcissist?
Sure.
He needs attention constantly. Yeah. He needs attention. It's exhausting.
It was exhausting watching. There were times when I wanted to fast forward.
I don't know how people stand him. Someone on Twitter said they just turned it off.
It's hard.
Or muted him. He says that Jen was going out to a mall way out of town, an hour away, the good mall. Every city has like a good mall and then like a bad mall, which is true. But she was going in winter in the snow to a good mall an hour away. And she didn't come home. So he called her best friend, Eileen Sales, and she also has not heard from her. And that's when he called 911. So Remy's friend Jason tells him to try the Find My iPhone app. And Remy goes to the police station and does it in front of them, which feels extremely performative. Like, look at how hard I'm trying to find my wife. Let's do this together. Hold my hand as I press the Find My iPhone button.
Weird.
It shows her iPhone. Officers go to the location and they can't find her phone. So Remy goes himself and he finds the phone under a bridge, which is odd that he found it and they did not.
But did they look?
They said they looked.
Huh.
But why does he go and check after they said they look? Because he doesn't believe them. Or because he really needs that phone.
Or because he really, really wants to find his wife, which is, I think, why he kind of does it.
He's method acting.
Correct.
A man who really wants to find his wife.
Correct.
Jen has been missing now for 5 days when her dad finds her van and he calls 911 and his call is devastating and so much better than Remy's in comparison.
And so hard to listen to.
Yeah.
It's very clear that he's crying.
That's what you should have sounded like. There is blood in the van. And Andrea says to Remy, was that your worst fear realized? And he says, yes, that was my worst fear realized. And he does this thing where he does a forced soft voice when he's talking about Jen.
A stage whisper.
A stage whisper. Because he's a Mariska Hargitay stage whisper when she talks to a criminal like this.
Peas and carrots, peas and carrots, peas and carrots.
It is not his natural voice. So it's pretty amazing. He does have range, though. He can talk to the people in the back row. He could talk to Andrea Canning in the front row.
Oh, boy.
Remy and Jen were college sweethearts, we learn. She met her best friend, Eileen, through their daughters in Girl Scouts. Eileen was the troop leader. We're the girls from New Berlin.
Bing, bang, bing, bang.
Dealing with snow is our greatest
win
skill.
Bing, bang, bing, bang.
I don't know. I'm sure there's other things to do in New Berlin. Eileen and Jen, they were best friends. They would text each other every morning, which Andrea Canning thinks is lovely because she's pretending she doesn't know the whole story about Eileen. Jen was sweet and quiet, and she was quite the opposite of her husband, Remy, who was loud and obnoxious and a bit much. People would say to Jen, I'm sorry you have to deal with Remy. And he says this proudly to Andrea. He loves his personality. And Eileen says, yeah, people would kind of roll their eyes and say, oh, here comes Remy.
Because he sucks the oxygen out of the room.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get a word in edgewise. Because if you've just seen a good movie, Remy has seen that and every other film by that same director.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to tell you either every little tiny detail or he wants to tell you how bad they sucked and here's why. And your opinion means nothing.
I would fake food poisoning every time he walked into a neighborhood barbecue, so much so that he would think I have massive gastrointestinal problems, which I do.
You and I would have code words and agreements of like, one of us would get to leave, but not both.
Oh, God.
And no. So we would have to switch off.
It's the office, the dinner party, when Jim fakes a plumbing emergency at his apartment. And Pam is like, I don't think you're going to leave without me, though.
You can buy a new apartment, but you can't buy a new party.
Jen loved being a stay-at-home mom to their kids. She was a Sunday school teacher. She was a knitting instructor. She loved cooking. Remy was climbing the corporate ladder and was very ambitious in marathons. He wanted to run 26 marathons in 1 year. He even says he was sponsored by Chobani. I don't know who he was sponsored by. iPod Touch.
Did you listen to our previous episode on this case?
No, but we talked a lot about the marathons.
Because the first thing that I said, I actually got to watch a chunk of this with my sister and my niece. And I turned to my niece and I said, let me ask you a question. If somebody runs marathons, what's the first thing that you know about them in the first 2 minutes that you meet them? And she goes, yeah, that they run marathons. I said, yes, yeah. Or do CrossFit.
Or are vegan. And I say that as a vegetarian who probably mentions it way too much.
There are five or six things that if you do one of these things, you bring it up. Yeah. And Remy, having already the personality of, I don't know, a bullhorn,
right. He
is going to shout at you about marathons, how healthy he is, and how you're probably not that healthy.
Right. Eileen starts running with him and they start training together. However, Jen chooses a hobby much better for your knees and ankles. She became into a game called Kingdoms of Camelot.
This is where I knew I had seen it.
M'lady. She would show Eileen pictures of her castle and the character that she created. And Eileen would say, oh, krr.
Lady Jennifer.
Lady Jennifer. Eileen would be like, okay, I'm going to go jog with your husband for 5 hours. You enjoy that game.
At this point, my niece said, they're having an affair.
She knows.
I was very, very sad about Lady Jennifer. Of course she needs an escape. Of course she does.
Yeah.
My God.
From Remy?
Yes.
I would become like one of those old TV movies about mental illness when the woman is like shaking in the shower crying, and that would be my me time if I was married to Remy.
You might develop a crippling gambling addiction.
Uh-huh.
You might just start going hitting the slots
mm-hmm.
just to get out.
Anything.
Just bingo every night.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
I just do diamond painting and watch Chicago Fire.
He would not let you finish a diamond painting.
But I know obsession with hobbies.
Yeah.
She was talking to strangers all over the world on the game. She was losing herself in the game. So Jen was withdrawing from the family. I was withdrawing from my family way before diamond paintings, back when I was knitting and cross-stitching. Eileen says, a little judgmentally, Jen wasn't cooking. They were ordering out every night. I call that living the life. And if we had an ad for a meal delivery service, I would put it right here and it would be a great segue. Eileen says that one night there was laundry piled up that Jen was ignoring. So she, the best friend, did the laundry. You're such a good friend, Eileen. I hope nothing horrible comes out about you.
Hold on a second. Is that a good friend?
I think it's condescending.
Is that not cool? Yeah, would you be irritated if I came over? Unless you asked me to do it. I don't know. That's a rough one. Sometimes Oliver gets a cleaning bug and starts to clean, and I immediately feel like I need to stop what I'm doing and help. Like, I am a terrible person, and I have not wiped down this counter in a minute.
Yeah.
It gives me, like, a little bit of cleaning anxiety.
No, I understand that.
I can't imagine someone coming in and doing my laundry.
Yeah.
Of my children.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Eileen also knew a secret about Jen, the kind only a best friend would know.
Oh, boy.
Jen was talking to a man on the game named Rob, who lived in England. And Eileen says to Andrea, well, they had a lot to talk about because in England, it's different, which I remember from last time mocking Eileen for that, because yes, it is different.
I also immediately thought he wasn't in England. I'm assuming that we both thought that last time as well.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
The relationship became flirtatious. Jen knew what kind of cologne he used, and so she dragged Eileen to the mall so they could go smell the cologne.
I remember that. What cologne was it? We still don't know.
We still don't know, but this is something my friends and I would do in high school.
Yes. I still remember the cologne, Polo Sport. I will never forget it. I was like, oh, Polo Sport smells so good.
God, he smells so good. He just makes me feel safe.
Never said that. Who says that? That's terrible.
My friend, she'll get mad at me.
She said he makes me feel...
I don't remember, but I remember we used to smell his sweatshirt that he left at her house because she just loved the smell of it so much. And she would like have me smell it. And I still remember it smelled really good. Yeah. I wish I actually knew what it was because it did smell really good.
It's probably Polo Sport.
They had a lot to talk about. England's different. They knew what cologne he wore. And then Jen started changing. She started wearing makeup, shocker, and she would take pictures of herself. And Eileen is very judgmental, and she doesn't like this. Remember that for later.
Does she sound judgy?
She says, I thought it was very strange. I didn't like this. Jen says Rob wanted to come and visit her. And Eileen thought maybe he did come visit her and he's responsible for her going missing. Or maybe he's lying about where he lives. And then Eileen tells Andrea, people lie online and in real life, Eileen. So speaking of Jen talking to a possible catfish, cats love to eat fish. Smalls, go.
Especially my cats. My cats really love to eat fish.
That's my favorite segue I've ever done.
It was excellent. I don't really need a big prompting to talk about my cats because I'm a cat person and I'm proud of it. Mm-hmm. They say happy cat, happy life. I say happy cats, happy nine lives.
Well done.
That's why I'm super excited that this podcast is sponsored by Smalls. If you are a listener of this show, then you know that my cats love Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find right in your fridge. And it's delivered right to your door. Veterinarians.org rates Smalls 10 out of 10 for ingredient quality, by the way.
Really?
10 out of 10. That's as high as it gets.
That's incredible.
I've also noticed that when I feed them Smalls on a regular basis, their coats get much shinier. And I have a cat that has breath problems. Breath a little less stinky. I'm not going to shame him, Danny.
I was just going to say, but I really appreciated that you didn't say that.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to shame him, but it might be the cat that's taken to swallowing his own teeth. It's fine. Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. That's some really good friends.
Yeah.
And a few short years later, they've served millions of meals to cats around the world. After making the switch to Smalls, 90% of cat owners report overall health improvements. And that's huge. The team at Smalls also is so confident that your cat will love their product that you can try it risk-free. And that means that they'll refund you if your cat just won't eat their food. But if my cats will eat it, your cats will eat it. Now is the time to make the switch to Smalls. So head to smalls.com/datedateline and use promo code DATEDATELINE at checkout for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use our code DATEDATELINE to get it for 50% off your first order. One last time, promo code DATEDATELINE for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping at smalls.com/datedateline. It's a Smalls world after all. So make your cats happy by giving them delicious, nutritious food to help them live a very long nine lives. Thank you so much, Smalls.
Aw. If you want to doll yourself up for your catfish, or you're like me and you just want to go with the basic makeup so you don't scare people at the grocery store, you need Thrive.
Always.
You've all seen Thrive's viral mascara in the turquoise tube. You've heard us say that Thrive has thousands of five-star reviews and are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, and that they give back by donating products and funds to help communities thrive, which in turn makes us feel good. You may not know where to start with makeup, though. You might be like me. Katie loves doing her makeup. She does it every day. She enjoys it. I don't. I get overwhelmed very easily. And I think makeup should be fast, simple.
And not smudge all over your face.
Foolproof. Kimberly proof.
Yeah.
Even for our live streams, I use 4 or 5 things. If I feel like impressing my diamond paintings, I might put on like one thing. Usually it's Thrive's Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara because it just puts a pop on your face because it looks like you're wearing extensions. It's flake-free. It actually nourishes your lashes so they look longer and healthier over time.
Yeah.
No other mascara can say that. Mm-mm. And then I always use the Brilliant Eye Brightener Highlighter Stick in the inner corner of my eye. It makes my face look bright, like I'm a 22-year-old who's not tired all the time.
It's a miracle stick, that little thing.
It is. It's foolproof to apply, and I'm kind of a makeup fool, so it's perfect for me. And that's for my day-to-day. If I'm going out somewhere, like I do every 6 months or so, I also put it on my lids like an eyeshadow. So again, yes, same product, two uses.
Yep.
No matter what products you start with, you can't lose with Thrive. Thrive Cosmetics is a luxury beauty brand that gives back. And right now you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/date-dateline. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/date-dateline for 20% off your first order.
Woo!
Now is your time to thrive. And even Kimberly's telling you, not just Katie.
It's the business. Also, use that 20% and bundle up. Check out the bundle deals on the site because you can get a few things to try. And it's like, oh, my eyes are completely done. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Thrive mm-hmm. really knows what they're doing. Yep. Thank you, Thrive.
Also, I do love that priming sunscreen.
I need a new bottle. Thank you for reminding me because it's time. I am going to start going in the sun again.
Yeah. So the sheriff's office contacts Rob from the game. I should call him Sir Rob. Lancelot Rob.
Prince Rob from, what is it, Camelot Kingdom? Kingdoms of Camelot.
Glendermire. Breckenshire's
Wood of Camelot's Breckenshire's Wood.
Court. Yeah. He really does live in the UK. So Interpol Shock. Contacts him. They find out he's married. So I believe we can call him Rob the Knob, which is from 90 Day Fiancé.
Yes, it is.
He admits that he and Jen had an intimate relationship over the game and text. She had sent him some lingerie. Where? To his office? Because he's married. So where are you sending it? Also, that postage was probably pricey to get it to the UK, although lingerie is pretty lightweight.
Wait a minute. She sent him lingerie?
Yeah, it's weird. Like for him to wear or for like she had worn it and then he could have it after she had worn it.
Yes.
I don't really understand.
Number two.
Okay.
Yeah.
He had sent her $150 for her to buy herself a gift, which I loved. Rob says he never came to New York. And he was very worried about Jen, too. I don't actually know if Eileen told Remy about the affair before or after she went missing.
I don't know either. I had a question about that.
He is furious. Remember that for later.
How does he know about?
Eileen tells him.
Eileen is the one that tells him, though. I know she's the one that tells the police.
She tells Remy about the affair, and he's furious. But he's still trying to find his wife. He goes on the news with tears running down his face, saying how much he loves her. He posts photos of her on Facebook where her face is superimposed onto waves in the ocean imagery with some sort of poem about God or laughter or something. Yeah, like it was Photoshop 101.
Like a boat on the ocean.
That's a good song. I love that song. That gets me.
Sorry, who sings? What is that song?
This is my fight song. Take that.
That's
my
it. Okay,
life
thank you.
Song. I love that song. That gets me.
I couldn't get there.
So he has his kids on the news lighting lanterns for her, which I guess is better than balloons. Maybe? I don't know.
Of course
Do
it
turtles
is.
Still choke on those lanterns?
We are getting an interview with one child throughout this. We should mention it. Glenn.
Glenn, who is now an adult, he was 10 at the time. Eileen is, meanwhile, judging Jen for sending Rob lingerie, and Remy feels betrayed by Jen. His friend, Jason, has no sympathy for Remy because Jason also knows the secret. Remy is also having an affair, except his is physical in real life, and it's with Eileen, Jen's best friend. Come on, Eileen.
Pull it together, Eileen.
Eileen says in her heart and soul, she knew it was bad.
Did you?
She also knew England is different. So she knows a lot of things. And she knows people lie on the internet. Also, I should mention that Eileen is gorgeous.
She is.
And Remy is him?
Remy's personality does him no favors.
No, but he thinks it does. Eileen is very apologetic on Dateline about how horrible she feels about this. Cut to Remy. Andrea says, so you were sleeping with your wife's best friend, and he laughs hysterically.
And at this point, everyone shuts off their TV and goes to bed because this guy should not be given any airtime.
He's like, yeah, it was bad.
You're a monster.
It was bad. Monster. Hilarious. This affair started a year before Jen disappeared. For a year, they were sleeping together. They were training for marathons together and getting very close. From everything I know about marathons, the chafed nipples and uncontrollable bloody diarrhea, it was super sexy. And I get how it drew them together. Remy decided, before the affair, he decided he wanted to really challenge himself because 26 marathons in a year is not enough. And he needs attention constantly.
My God.
I'm going to run a marathon without drinking a drop of water.
In Arizona.
Do you just want to die?
I'm fine with that.
Do you think you're going to break a Guinness World Record or something?
This section of the Dateline, I think it's my top.
Yeah.
Of like the most irritating series of events. What happens right now?
Yeah.
It's definitely of this episode, but I think it's of all time for me. This marathon with no water, just straight up for attention.
Yeah.
Moron. Okay, go ahead.
So he's running with no water.
Yeah, this gets so much worse. Oh my God.
He has an epiphany from God. No, duh, you're severely dehydrated. That's why you're having an epiphany. He hears a Christian rock song, come on, by Skillet, called Tomorrow's One Day Too Late. It's always the religious dudes on Dateline. It's always the religious dudes. He hears this song that he loves, and he is dying of thirst, literally. And God tells him that Eileen is the love of his life.
At this point, I looked at my sister's face, and I honestly thought she was going to throw up. I got a trash can. She's been ill lately.
Why do you do this for a job?
And it was just, I mean, she had been saying from the beginning, I don't like him. Mm-hmm. I don't like him. Really quietly behind me the whole time. And then this happens. And it was the snarl on her face said what we were all thinking in our heart. It's like my heart turned to dust and there I was no more.
It's like on Seeking Sister Wife when Garrick says that God wants you to have a threesome and bring in another wife. And when you put the sperm in the lady, the DNA goes to her brain and it makes you a part of her. And that's what God wants for his family. Also, God wants it to be a hot Brazilian 20 years his junior. He tells Eileen, I had an epiphany. And she said, please drink some water. You're going to die.
And then she followed that up with, what's an episcopy?
Did you know England is different? He told her they kissed. She felt very regretful, but did nothing to stop him. And Andrea fully shades her and says, so some people would say, what are you doing? Jen is my best friend. Maybe slapped him across the face. But you didn't do that, did you?
My God.
They start sleeping together.
Who?
He did not feel guilty because he and Jen had been growing apart. Let me remind you, he did not feel guilty about sleeping with his wife's best friend.
While he's still married.
Who is also married with children.
They both have 3 children each, right?
And spouses, yes. He doesn't feel an ounce of guilt.
Because he might have a
clinical disorder.
A clinical disorder that we can't diagnose on this podcast, but it starts with an S and it ends with an H.
Yeah. He also might be a schmarcist.
Oh, he's definitely a snorkel cyst.
There's a lot going on. Eileen at least feels guilty for her part. She's also married with kids. She explains to Andrea, who is just flabbergasted, why would you sleep with this man? I've met him. Why would you sleep with him? Eileen says she was attracted to his personality. He made her feel important. He made her feel confident because he was so confident. There we go. Eileen has low self-esteem. And that's really the issue here.
I have written here a scale of personality. And if Remy is at one end of the scale, right?
Yeah.
Eileen is at the complete opposite end of that scale.
Yeah.
What is Michelle, Babes with Coffee?
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
We are the same. He bought her nice things that she wasn't allowed to wear in front of her husband. so she wouldn't wear them.
That's a hard no.
Yeah. And Andrea says, how did he have this power over you? And Eileen says, one of my bad characteristics, actually, she says bad characters, is that I'm a weak person. And okay. I said, okay, Michelle Babes with Coffee. And if you don't know who Michelle Babes with Coffee is, you need to go to our Patreon, because I was so mean in that episode that it had to be removed from our maiden feed and put on Patreon Supercast. And it is called Diabolical. And there's two of them. And Michelle Babes with Coffee also has a weak personality.
She says,
I don't have a big personality. I just am very small, timid person. And I am not strong. I have no personality.
I think she said, I have no personality. I would say that Eileen's inflection throughout this doesn't change. And at one point towards the end, I came up with a different clinical diagnosis, which was rhymes with schmimeshin, mispression, expression.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe that's what's happening here, because the lack of emotion is startling.
Yeah.
It's very flat. We're very, very flat.
But I do believe she feels badly. I think she thinks she's a terrible person. But I think she thought that before, and Remy made her feel good.
I think that if she is someone who is like more timid, and so she is drawn to these sort of bigger personalities, and I think Remy, while he is what we would call in the business a blowhard, I think that he would also, like a living mouthpiece, whatever. There's a bunch of terms for kind of how he is. He's just very loud and gregarious in a bad way. I think that I could see her being drawn to someone like that because she wants that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I guess.
And I think she doesn't feel like she should exist.
Maybe.
She kind of makes herself small and she talks very softly. And he does the opposite. He is like...
But it's hard to tell if that's because of this, though, don't you think? Like, I'm having a hard time seeing if that's how she felt before.
Right.
Or if actually this is because of what's happened now.
Right. Which is valid. It was a terrible thing to do. She says he kind of gave her confidence and made her feel special and important. And she wasn't getting that in her life.
But we're not getting any kind of confirmation of that. What we're actually getting is that he controlled you.
Right.
He told you what to wear, this and that. It seems like you almost were looking for that as well for some reason. Mm. So that happens. I mean, it's just an interesting dynamic. Mm-hmm. He seems controlling, and I can't imagine him being positive about anyone but himself. Can you? I can't imagine him actually building her up at all.
No, I can imagine him telling her how many peas to eat at a time.
Exactly. That's the vibe I get.
The movie secretary. He's like a cult leader, but with no personality. But he thinks he has a big personality.
Yes. And I can imagine someone like her being like, well, no, he was helping me. He was helping me with the peas because I was eating way too many peas.
She's primed to join a cult.
Yeah. She needs to stay away from
Keith Raniere.
Maybe Southern California.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere if someone asks you to take a test where you're holding things about your personality. If somebody asks you to take a personality test, just keep moving.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
We're only trying to look out for you, Eileen.
Yeah. And also, no, you do not want to sell makeup, leggings, purses.
Yeah. Essential oils.
Weight loss shakes. Yeah.
Patches.
No. Just say no. Bitcoin. Okay, I'm done. That's it.
So Eileen separates from her husband and is with Remy. But a few weeks before Jen disappeared, Eileen goes back to her husband. But she still can't stay away from that sweet, sweet Remy lovin'. Even the day before Jen disappeared, they had coitus.
What?
She wanted to stop this relationship with Remy, but when she would mention it, he would get very upset. This is right before Jen disappeared. When Jen disappeared, Eileen goes to the police to tell them about the affair. She said, I was humiliated and embarrassed, but I just wanted to find Jen. And Remy was there too, and he admits it to the police. Now, he had originally told the police his marriage was fine, which is what every man on Dateline says. He tells Andrea, yeah, I told the police, I don't have anything to be ashamed of. I don't have any deep, dark secrets. And Andrea says, well, that one's pretty deep. And he says, well, besides that. And he says, people have affairs all the time. And Andrea says, with your wife's best friend and she's missing. That's a bombshell. And he says, I don't think that's a bombshell.
What's going on? It feels like he's trying to gaslight Andrea.
Yeah, he is.
He's trying to be like, that's not a bombshell. That happens all the time. This happens all over.
There are certain...
That doesn't mean it's not awful.
...political rallies at this country that he would dominate.
Don't forget his name, everybody. Because in a few years, there might be a ballot with his name on it.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Police are looking at Eileen, too, wondering if she was involved. They ask her to take a polygraph, and it's inconclusive. After a couple months...
Sorry, Eileen had a polygraph that was inconclusive?
Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah. She doesn't have a strong personality.
This is really sad.
I didn't listen. I bet our first episode, I was very hard on Eileen, and now I just kind of feel bad for her.
I think we're getting a little more this episode.
Yeah, maybe we're also growing as people. No, probably not.
She did a really lousy thing, but it also seems like she was way bamboozled.
Yeah.
Like she was way taken under by somebody who was very, very loud.
Yeah. So after a couple months, police find Jen's body, which was naked in the melting snow.
Oh.
And Remy cries again on the news, and Eileen is devastated. He had real tears, but for once, they are not impressing me.
You know what bothers me is this is really sad, and his kids, I'm sure, are unbelievably sad, and they have to watch their dad fake cry. It's upsetting on 1,000 levels.
But they don't think he's fake crying, so he's bamboozled his children as well. Well, one of them.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
The one we're meeting on Dateline. Now Eileen is wearing a scarlet letter around town. Everyone thinks she's involved somehow, and they all know that she had this affair with Remy. She felt alone, and it pushed her more towards Remy because no one else in the town is talking to her. She starts to spend time at the house with Remy and the kids, taking care of them. And Glenn, the son, who's still very young, thought, oh, I guess I could kind of tell there was something going on with them, but... I don't know. He's very much in denial about the whole thing. He just doesn't want to think about anything. He doesn't want to think about his dad maybe doing it. He doesn't want to think that his dad had an affair with Eileen. He's just put it in a box and compartmentalized it. And that's what's working for him in this situation.
That's what works for Glenn. I totally respect that. What I don't understand is,
yeah,
when did Eileen tell Pat, I believe is her husband's name? When did she tell her husband?
Right. She probably said, I'm just helping out with the kids. I'm not having an affair with Remy, but these kids lost their mom, so I need to help out.
Oh, and it is her best friend, so we don't even know if he knows yet.
Right, exactly.
Wow, okay.
Meanwhile, Remy is oversharing on social media, and his tone has kind of changed about Jen. He's saying things like, all of you didn't really know Jen. She's changed a lot. She's not the mother, housewife, cook that you all think she is.
You better be quiet.
The Leah Askey audacity of this man.
Sit down, sir.
She used to be all this stuff. She hasn't been for a long time. And you don't
know
that. No,
you know why? Because now she's Lady Jennifer of Berkinghamshire.
And also you're sleeping with her best friend.
Yeah. Which you know she knew. You know she knew.
Some part of her knew something wasn't right.
Of course she stopped doing laundry.
Yeah.
I would have stopped doing laundry. I would have been like, do your own laundry, sir.
I would have stopped bathing and, well, I don't really bathe that much anyways.
I wasn't going to say that, but.
Remy had told police certain things about his timeline that day that started to not make sense when they investigated. He had told her that Jen went shopping at 10 a.m., but her phone was still at home at 11 a.m. He said he had done this really long jog all over town because he's always training for the next marathon. They collect security footage all over town, but they can't find him on any of it. Eileen does have an alibi, though. She was at work that morning, and she still is refusing to believe that Remy had anything to do with it.
Okay.
Then police find a blood stain on his sweatshirt that he was wearing the day that Jen disappeared.
Okay.
Then the autopsy comes in and says that it's homicide. So they arrest Remy.
What homicide, though? What happened to her?
They think strangulation or suffocation because there weren't any, like, out-and-out injuries.
I see.
They arrest Remy, and he's furious, telling Andrea this. I was perp walked with manacles and chains and leg irons and the whole ball of wax.
Did they do it on purpose?
Oh, totally.
Totally did, right? Because we see his interrogation, which is horrendous. I'm going to leave right now. And remember,
no, you're not.
We keep seeing pictures of him with his like super guns. I don't know what else to call it. Like his gun show arm. Do you know the muscle man
yes,
picture?
Yes, and his tight tank top is tucked in his waistband.
My God.
Police finally think that Eileen was not involved, but she still thinks Remy's innocent, and he keeps calling her from jail, and we're hearing these phone calls that are disgusting. He's like, oh, my girl, I close my eyes and I imagine what you're wearing.
Stop picturing the workout clothes. He has like a weird workout clothes fetish and it's upsetting.
He does, because the fancy clothes he bought her were allowed to wear around her husband. They were workout clothes.
I'm so glad I didn't see any brands on anything, because I just don't need anything tainted.
I love those Adidas tank tops you're wearing.
Remember I bought you those Lululemon leggings? Remember they were $145 for no reason?
So he's imagining what she's wearing from jail, and he really wants her to move into his house. He keeps pushing it. Will you promise me? Promise me you'll move into my house. And she's like bringing her kids with her, I guess. The kids all got along, so I guess that's fine. I don't understand. She agrees to move in just to make the phone call stop, which I get it. I've agreed to way worse just to get off the phone with my mom.
I understand that thing.
It's like getting off the phone with a telemarketer. Like, sure, I'll give you all my money.
Just make this stop.
When she hears the fact that he had blood on his sweatshirt, she kind of gives it a pause, but then she kind of thinks, well, that house was so dirty because Jen wasn't doing any laundry. So maybe it's old blood. Like, she's doing mental gymnastics and cognitive dissonance, but also managing to diss Jen's housework again.
It's really sad.
But then she starts to mull things over. And I think distance, like it usually does, kind of breaks the spell with a lot of these kind of relationships. And I just watched that Ruby Frankie episode of 2020, and I'm very new to that case. I know almost nothing about it. But like,
oh,
I didn't realize that she did kind of flip on the other one after she had been away from her in jail for a long time. I don't know if that was real or not. I don't know. Don't come at me. I don't know very much about it.
You're right. That does tend to happen. But also, it makes a lot of sense when we find out how many times Remy had called her, which is that later? I think it's right now.
No,
right?
It's later. Oh, 2,000 times from jail.
That means that he is trying to make that not happen.
Yeah.
That's manipulation that he's trying to do by keeping him in her line of at least hearing at all times.
Mm-hmm.
If he can't see her, he wants to be talking to her all the time.
Mm-hmm. She starts to think things over and she starts to have doubts. Can we insert that clip? I have such doubts.
Can we insert that clip?
Yeah.
Law, please call us.
When his trial starts, the prosecutors say the motive was Eileen. He wanted to be with her. To prove it, they play more of the nauseating jailhouse phone calls where he says things like, when I look at my ring finger, I imagine your name.
No.
You're a gift from God.
No.
Well, I guess in some people's minds, God is just handing out mistresses as presents to people.
No. Only in Remy's mind. Because Remy would read the Bible to look for something like that.
Yes.
Because that's what...
that's what Garrick from Seeking Sister Wives is doing.
That's exactly right. People that want to use it for a nefarious purpose will do that.
So he calls her way too many times from jail. 2,000. Too many. That's too many phone calls from anybody. I don't care.
It's too many.
So Remy's friend, Jason, testifies against Remy for the prosecution, which is kind of hilarious. Jen and Remy both have the worst friends. Jen's best friend is sleeping with her husband, and Remy's best friend flips on him for the trial. But good for Jason. Mad props to Jason.
I don't think Jason is his best friend.
He's a friend.
I think Jason is like okay with Remy, was one of the people that were like, oh, okay. And Jason's like not really a talker. So Remy is.
Yeah.
And so again, it like fills a hole in his social calendar.
Totally.
But I don't know if Jason would like that Dateline called him the best friend.
Right. He might write a letter to Andrea Canning. We were acquaintances.
We were kind of friends.
And Andrea would say, well, he told you that he wanted to divorce his wife. And he'd be like, he told everyone everything. he told right. the lady at Wendy's. And she said, sir, this is a Wendy's meme started with Remy, Miss Canning. So that's who you're dealing with.
There you go.
Jason testifies that Remy wanted to divorce Jen and keep the kids. And Jason said, dude, the mom is usually going to get custody of the kids. And Remy kept saying, no, I'm not worried. I'm going to get the kids.
No.
No, you're not, unless you murder her.
But Jason didn't say that.
No. Well, we don't know. But Remy was oddly confident that he was going to get the kids.
It's very strange.
Eileen testifies, and I'm sure it was very dramatic when she took the stand. When Eileen took the stand, I bet everyone was like, oh, it's Eileen. She says that Remy asked her for a ride home that day from the gym. And when she dropped him off at home, he didn't invite her inside for sex. And she thought later that was so weird. He had never, in the year that they had been together, not pushed for sex.
Especially when she was supposed to be at the shopping mall. Why would he not invite her in if Jen was supposedly shopping at that time, right?
She was supposed to be gone for hours, so it would be perfect timing, but no.
Also, doesn't Remy work for IBM? What kind of a day is this?
He worked at home from IBM, and he says that he was on his computer. He has a very flexible at-home job with IBM, and he said he had sent some emails that morning, but when the IT experts check his computer, he was not on his computer at all that day, okay. which he had said he was. So they think he had killed Jen earlier, then driven off with her body and her phone and the van and dumped everything, and then jogged to the gym and called Eileen for a ride home.
The YMCA footage that they show two or three times in this, I was dying. Because it's like he knows exactly where the camera is. Because all of a sudden he walks up and stretches his leg and stretches his arm in the biggest wide, yeah. with arms wide open, stretch. It's the most obvious, like, oh, I've just been running.
That marathon, gotta get my delts and my lats.
Right in front of the camera. It's like someone is like pretending to wake up and they do the yawn where they go, and they move their arms away from their face. No one wakes up like that.
It's exactly like that is. He is acting like he is just come from his training, but he does have a busy day. I'm surprised his feet weren't hurting more. He's running all over town, dumping evidence. I hope he has his Bombas on.
I hope he does not. He does not deserve Bombas. You take
that
back.
No, he doesn't. I hope he is wearing the thinnest socks that have no cushioning.
Blisters all over.
All over. That don't have honeycomb arch support, anti-blister tabs, and cushioned footbeds.
Yeah.
But Bombas is perfect for a busy day of disposing evidence or training for your next marathon. And I mean really training, not the kind of training in quotes that I have a feeling like he and Eileen were doing most of the time.
Ugh.
Bombas has socks, we know that, but they also have undergarments that will keep you cool and comfy as you run around town to various dump sites to get rid of your horrific crime evidence. Buttery soft tees without itchy tags so you can get those miles in for those marathons. The best part is that Bombas has a one purchase, one donated mission, which totally doesn't make up for Remy's bad deeds, but it's a start.
No.
Maybe it'll make up for your bad deeds because I have a feeling they are way less than Remy's.
How dare you?
Every time you buy an item from Bombas, you also donate clothing to someone facing homelessness, which is amazing. It makes you feel so good, but it also just makes you feel good wearing Bombas's items because they're so comfy.
Yes.
Unlike life, Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. They will make sure you're happy with your items. Even if your dog eats your items, they will take care of it. Check out their fun garden party socks and new spring collections. Because if you're having some sort of midlife crisis, better than having an affair or losing yourself in a Camelot game, just update your wardrobe a little. You'll get a spring in your step and no one will get hurt.
There you go.
Every time I get a new Bombas item, I feel a little zip in my step and I'm less likely to buy another diamond painting because I'm not filling a deep hole inside of myself. Thank you, Bombas, for that. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/datedateline and use code DATEDATELINE for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/datedateline and use code DATEDATELINE at checkout. Bombas is the bombas.com If you haven't tried them yet, what's wrong with you?
Get on it. Bombas, 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 bombas. For everyone but Remy.
Another way to refresh your life without losing yourself in a Lords and Ladies of Windershire, Breckenshire Woods game is to just update your hair care routine.
That is true. I mean, it's a really easy way to actually, speaking of confidence, feel more confident just walking out the door in the morning. Mm-hmm. If you've never felt like you can really embrace your natural hair and you have to do a lot to it to get out the door and feel good, I understand that feeling. And I felt the same way, honestly, until I found Pros. And that's because it's custom made for me. With Pros, I've noticed so many benefits: healthier hair, shinier hair, and plus they have new skin products that I cannot wait to try. My hair is so much more manageable since I switched to a custom routine from Pros. I'm talking shampoo, conditioner, pre-shampoo treatment, and my beloved hair oil. Pros is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything that Pros does, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. From millions of possible formulas, only one Pros formula is uniquely yours or mine. Pros isn't just better for you as well. It's better for the planet. Pros is a certified B Corp. They're cruelty-free and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. Ooh. They even have a review and refine tool, which learns from my feedback and adjusts my formula to keep up with the seasons and changes in my hair color and in my life. The review and refine tool is the thing I use the most with Pros because I'm constantly changing my hair color. So now I needed a lot of hydration added back into my hair after I was a dark red and have now returned to a light blonde, all within the space of 2 months. So I'm really putting Pros through the workout. The Pros at Pros are hearing from me. Pros is also so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/datewithdateline. So you get your free consultation, which is how they come up with your unique formulas. Then 50% off at pros.com/datewithdateline. That's PROSE.com/datewithdateline. 2024 is the year, folks, to strike a Pros. Pros, 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 Pros. Thank you so much, Pros, for putting up with me. You're the best. Thank you.
So, Lord Rob from Manchester, he's from England. I don't know why I said Manchester. It sounded fancier.
He could be from Manchester.
Lord Rob from Breckenshire Woods testifies that Jen disappeared that day in the middle of their game. And so she just was gone from being online. And he texted her, "Where'd you go?" But it was more like, "Where'd you go, boo?"
No, it was more
"Where'd
like,
you go,
where'd you
boo?
Go, m'lady?
Where'd you go, m'lady?
Me boo.
Come back to me. I'm here for you. Don't disappear on me. I see your heart. I see truth in your soul.
I see beauty in your heart."
So she never replied. So they develop a theory that they think Rob caught her playing the game and he snapped. He killed her in bed. And they even find a blood spot on the bed. And the DNA on the blood on his sweatshirt was a mixture of Remy and Jen's.
That's bad. That feels really damning.
Remy tells Andrea, "I have truth on my side." And he also has an attorney named Gilberto Garcia. And Gilberto Garcia puts Remy in a beige suit that is more scandalous than Obama's because the sleeves go down to his knuckles.
And I think it's Gilberto's suit. There's been a lot of these on Instagram lately where people are trying to figure out their colors again. Where it's like, are you a winter, a spring, a summer, a fall? Remy is not whatever color that suit is.
Yeah.
It pulls out anything gray in his skin tone. It pulls it out. So it makes him look vomitous. It makes him look ill.
Also, maybe he's lost a lot of weight or just Gilberto is so big. The suit looks so oversized. And that look is in again. I don't know if it was ever in. But have you seen people in those oversized suits? They look like they have air injected in, like a it's not sumo wrestler
for
suit.
Remy, because Remy has large bicep, small head syndrome.
Yeah.
You can't do that because then you look like, what's that guy from Beetlejuice? You just, it doesn't look good. Yeah. It doesn't look right. Yeah.
But Remy thinks Garcia is a genius and he is going to win this case. He's so excited.
You're wrong.
Garcia says to the jury, the police's timeline doesn't make sense. Remy wouldn't have had time to do all those things and dispose of all that evidence and get to the gym. This man runs marathons. He's pretty fast. Did you not hear? He runs a marathon every other weekend.
My God.
He puts Remy on the stand.
Oh, Remy was never not going to be on the stand.
Remy would never not let himself have an opportunity to speak.
100. Like, I don't care who his lawyer was. I don't care if they said, I'm going to quit. Remy is the kind of defendant that would say, then I will represent myself.
Yeah. You could pay him $1 billion to join a monk's colony where he has to take a vow of silence.
He wouldn't
not do it. Not even for an hour.
I couldn't be me, but then yeah. I couldn't be me.
No amount of money is worth me not being able to share my truth, Andrea Canning.
Oh my God.
He takes the stand, and it's a real tragedy that there's no video.
It's such a tragedy, except it's good because it needs to just not be seen. But I do really want to know.
My ears are still attached to my head at this time. I hadn't clawed them off my head, and I probably would have if there was video and I had to hear his testimony.
I bet you there's a transcript out there.
There might be a transcript. Yeah. He blames Jen on the stand for being murdered. He says she had changed and they were discussing divorcing because of her changing.
Because of her?
Yeah.
Not never because of him.
He was having an affair with her best friend for a year. Eileen listens to his testimony and she can tell that he's lying. And that cemented it for her because she knows him very well. And she heard his voice. We can all tell he's lying. It doesn't take knowing him to tell that he's lying, but she could really tell that he was lying.
Oh, yeah.
The prosecutor is cross-examining Remy and apparently lost his temper on the stand. With Remy on the stand, because Remy was so frustrating. He said, I would ask what day it was, and he would say how much he loved his wife, and he just wouldn't shut up and like wouldn't answer the question. Everyone agrees that Remy is a disaster on the stand and super annoying. I would have loved to have heard what the jury had to say.
At this point, turn to my sister and my niece, and I say, bets on how long the jury takes. I said, 1 hour.
Yeah.
1 hour.
Remy was the only defense witness that took the stand.
Of course he was.
Let me repeat that. Garcia, the genius attorney, only puts Remy on the stand.
Who else do you need?
Yeah. So what he does in his closing argument is he leans into how horrible Remy is. And he says, listen, Remy talks too much. When he testified, he sounds like a Teamster on Law and Order who witnessed a carjacking. And has to tell the detectives about it. He's like, Remy talks too much. When he testified, I wanted to hit him with a pan. He was so annoying. I was so frustrated. It's basically the, I get it. He's annoying AF. I hate him as much as you do. But that doesn't mean he's a murderer.
It's not going to work.
Because then he goes a step further and says, in the course of defending him, I even wondered if he did it. I even thought to myself, maybe he did do it. And when he says this, the prosecutor does this huge smile because he knows he's won. Because the jury just heard the defense attorney say that he's even had doubts as to whether or not Remy did it.
Would you be able to keep a straight face on the jury at that point?
No.
I don't think I would ever be able to make eye contact.
No.
I think I would either have to look at a point on the wall.
Yeah.
Or like down at the ground.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have to think about something else.
Yeah.
You'd have to play a movie in your head.
Totally. I would laugh. And he says, you know what? I wondered, could he have done it? Maybe he could have done it. But suspicions aren't enough. You need facts.
Where are you getting that he has a Staten Island accent?
He had a New York, Jersey accent, but then with a hint of a Spanish Latino accent.
See, I heard full Latino accent.
Really?
And no New York at all.
Maybe I missed.
So you hear what you want to hear.
Yeah.
the gist of what she's saying is that this attorney was horrendous.
He's horrible. Also, he's a huge guy. And again, he put Remy in his suit. So don't forget that.
In his beige, off-colored suit. And Remy looks like, seriously, like he's ill.
Yeah. So Remy says to Andrea, it doesn't matter what other people think of me. You do know it does matter what a jury thinks of you, though.
Oh my God, Remy.
Do you know that?
No, I don't think he does.
Do you understand with that?
I don't think he should be able to sit in his own trial because he doesn't get it.
No. He says, it only matters what the people that love you think of you. I'm a great father. I was a great husband. Yes, I cheated on my wife. But people have affairs all the time and they don't kill their wives. I had a perfect life. Absolutely fantastic. I had a wife. I had a girlfriend. I had everything. The worst thing for me was Jen going missing. This is really the rambling. It's so much like watching someone on TV. I'm not going to say who.
No, it's also Michael Scott.
It's Michael Scott. It's stream of consciousness. It's I don't know where I'm going at the end of this sentence when I start this sentence. Yeah. I'm going to keep talking.
I'm going to keep going and it's going to get somewhere. And if I just say it with enough emphasis, I'm going to start doing that.
And that's what I believe.
Uh-huh. Except you don't leave. You just stay. And that's what I believe. And furthermore, that's like the next. That's the part two.
Yeah.
That's what I believe the Remy version.
Yeah.
And it's going to be annoying.
So wow. Andrea says this was one of the oddest defenses we've ever heard. His affair made him too happy to kill. And I thought Mank would like to step in and remind us that the killer in The Life She Wanted said they couldn't be the killer because they were vegetarian. But this one's close. Also, Remy, you didn't have everything. You didn't have a wife and a girlfriend because you said yourself you and Jen were discussing divorce. And Eileen said that she was trying to end it with you and she had gone back with her husband.
You try to tell Remy that.
You can't speak to that man.
No, Remy has it in his head what's happened here, or he has convinced himself.
He is trying to too busy convincing people in jail that they should all start training for a marathon together.
Is he selling Beachbody?
Did he start a running club with supplements in prison, and he makes the supplements with the high C packets, and he's charging people for them?
We're about to see a very unhinged version of Remy, and I wrote down toilet wine.
Yeah, for sure.
That this feels like Remy plus.
Yeah.
Some external stimulant happening. Okay.
His defense attorney does the Legally Blonde defense, but saying instead of exercise gives you endorphins that make you too happy to kill, sex with Eileen was giving him those happy hormones that made him too happy to kill. Why would he want to kill Jen? He was as happy as a pig in mud. Because both things were being taken away from you and your children. I don't think anyone, The jury deliberates and Remy is found guilty of murder in the second degree. He gets 25 to life. It took them 10 hours to deliberate though.
No, it took them 3 hours.
Oh, 3 hours. Sorry.
Yeah, I lost. I lost my bet.
Yeah.
I think it took them 3 hours to fill out the paperwork. There is a packet.
I'm hoping it was a packet,
and then they decided they really wanted the free lunch. They're like, if we drag this out,
we get
Chipotle. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Remy's kids go to live with Jen's parents.
Good.
Which is good.
Good. Although, we do get to see Remy's mom in the courtroom. I'm only assuming it's his mom. There's a fabulous looking woman in that courtroom, and I would have liked her to come on Dateline. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I didn't see her. Yeah, I bet it was Remy's
mom. There's someone that appears to be in black fur. And I would like to see exactly what she's wearing. Maybe a hat. I need to know.
Yeah, I want to talk to her about hiring Gilberto Garcia. Glenn, Remy's son, who's now a handsome young adult on Dateline, says that Jen's parents did her best, but they are very out of touch and they're older. So it'd be like my parents trying to raise teenagers or like on Golden Girls when Blanche's grandson came to live with them.
Yeah.
And he was a bag of wieners.
That's rough.
The kids are not allowed to visit Remy in prison. And Glenn says he doesn't really think about it too much, like whether his dad did it, because again, he's compartmentalizing.
He feels boxes sealed.
Yeah. But when he turns 18, he goes to see Remy and Remy declares his innocence and he blames his lawyer, Garcia. That's fair.
Valid.
Eileen herself struggles with guilt. She feels badly anytime she's happy because Jen's not there. She feels badly that her kids still have a mom and Jen's kids don't. She wishes she had never entered their lives because she feels like Jen might still be there.
This is when you start. I think this is new. I don't think we got this last time.
She seems very remorseful.
This is, I think, why we probably feel differently this time.
Yeah, I believe her.
I believe her, too. There's nothing about her that, even though she is soft-spoken and quiet and doesn't have a huge personality, I think part of the reason she's acting like this is she doesn't feel like she gets to have a lot of emotions. She's really beating herself up about this. And
right. Because if she was crying a lot, people would say, oh, you're crying? Think of how you hurt Jen. But you're crying? Okay. You know.
Think about being in her position. You did a bad thing and you let yourself to sort of be swept away with this guy who's sort of maybe loud and talked you into this. I'm not saying that you couldn't say no. You could say no.
Right.
But then you can't take it back.
Yeah.
And it's ruined all these lives, in your own opinion. It would be very difficult to live with that.
Yeah. Oh, it would be horrible. She needs to move. She did one of the worst things you could do to a friend, but she now still has to go on and
maybe move with your children to like Greenland?
Or, yeah.
I don't know. Denmark, maybe? Somewhere far away?
Yeah. Norway. Very happy places to live.
Scandinavia place.
Cut to now.
Oh, my God.
Present day Remy, who has aged and gotten scurvy in prison.
He's gotten a hold of the prison wine.
He says, Garcia was an idiot. Everybody knows that.
You didn't?
No, you thought didn't, he was brilliant.
Remy. Roll the tape.
Yeah. Remy's parents have hired him some new lawyers, and they say that Garcia had no experience, especially not in murder cases. In fact, the only criminal case he had tried, he quit halfway through, saying he wasn't competent to defend his client. The rest of his cases were civil cases in things like bankruptcy and divorce cases.
I think you could look this up. I think you can look up this information. I don't know what's going on.
He was basically a salesman who took Remy's parents in. They were taken in and they fell for it. So the new attorneys go through his case files and see that Garcia had been printing things out during the trial from Google, basic things about DNA and forensics, like from Wikipedia. But instead of for school essay, it's for murder trial.
For criminal defense, murder one.
He was also apparently horrible at cross-examining witnesses. Like, if a cop took the stand, he would just say, so tell us why you think Remy's guilty. And then the cop would be able to rattle off all of the facts of why he thinks Remy's guilty. And Andrea says to the new attorneys, oh, so it's like someone watching Law and Order and thinking they're a lawyer. And the lawyer says, or Dateline. So mark it off your bingo cards.
There you go. It is, though. It's like someone watching Dateline and be like, I saw this guy do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is going to get him.
The lawyer says, it's like someone who is an avid Dateline fan thinking they could be a murder attorney. And I was like, how rude we could. Kimberly Lee and Kidder's attorneys at Pretend Television Law.
It's going to be great.
At your service.
I think we'd do great. I think we'd nail it. I think we'd do better, maybe. I think we might do better
than Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
Remy's parents paid him over $100,000. And a lot of that was supposed to be spent on expert witnesses. But if you remember, he didn't call any expert witnesses. He didn't even contact any expert witnesses. He also put Remy on the stand and doesn't prep him. He basically told Remy, you're a spontaneous guy. We don't want you prepped. Just go up there and wing it.
We want people to hate you.
Yeah. Go up there and be yourself, Remy. That's the worst thing you could tell Remy is to be yourself. We need you to be the opposite of yourself.
Remy should have been nowhere near that stand, and he should have had like one of those things that horses wear, the blinders, so that the jury couldn't see any expressions he was making.
Yeah.
Because you know his face is telling a million stories.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
And then his closing argument, it was 2 hours long and very confusing. So they're showing these little clips of him and he's like, bleep, 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 bloop, bloop. Oh, I'm not going to go there. Pretend I never said anything. This little thing can be a killer. And he holds up a cell phone and then he points to something and says, we're going to paint it red and it'll be red.
What is that?
No one knows. I don't know.
I thought it was a little game. Was it a cell phone he was holding up?
The cell phone is what he says. This little thing can be a killer.
I thought he had one of those games where you move...
Tetris?
Yeah, it's like the little, it's like a game that would be like a dentist's office that you get out of a treasure chest and you move, you have to move all the boxes in a row. I didn't know what he was doing. It was pandemonium.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. Pretend I never said anything. Zip it. Why are you talking? Stop talking. I never said anything.
Kimberly.
What are you talking about?
This can't happen again.
No. So the new lawyers file a petition to say the conviction should be thrown out because Garcia was incompetent. And a judge agrees. And Remy gets a new trial.
Absolutely.
He should. I mean, I hate him, but maybe he should. And Garcia gets in trouble for misrepresenting his experience. And it gets, like, sanctioned. I hope everyone sees this and never hires him again. The new prosecutor also agrees that Remy should get a new trial because of Garcia, but he's sure that Remy still did the murder because both things can be true.
I loved the new prosecutor because he surprised me. He was like, because Andrea says, do you think that, you know, this was something, a case where he should have gotten a new trial? He goes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like he was terrible.
He's like, I want to win, but I want to win fair and square.
Right.
Let's Garcia put this guy away fair and square.
Yeah.
This new prosecutor finds some new info. Jen had left Rob in England these happy voicemails that morning. Aww. She, in these voicemails, tells Rob everything about her life in her day in a way, God bless her. I would probably delete those voicemails. It's like, I got up, I brushed my teeth, and then I brushed my hair. I let the dog out to go to the bathroom.
And then I had soup.
I had soup. I crumbled crackers in it. What kind of crackers were they? Were they saltines? How many crackers? Did you do one at a time or did you do multiples?
I like that soup. I think I'll have that soup again.
Yeah, that's a deep cut.
I have a coupon for that soup.
From this podcast.
Yeah.
I overheard a conversation with my college roommate on her and her boyfriend, who she had just seen because he had just walked home a block away.
About soup.
And then they had that phone conversation. But she's literally saying everything, literally step by step of what she's done that morning. Brush my hair, brush my teeth. Then she says, my youngest kid lost her tooth yesterday. I think it's her 7th or her 8th. So in all of these phone calls that morning, she never mentions to Rob that she's going to drive an hour away in the snow to go to this mall.
To go to Abercrombie. Yeah.
Yeah. They think that is a total lie from Remy, that she was never going because she would have mentioned it to Rob.
If she's mentioning all of these sort of mundane day-to-day things, she absolutely would mention that. These broke my heart.
Yeah, it's very sad because she sounds so happy with him and has no idea what's coming.
Remy definitely doesn't listen to her.
No way. But Rob listens to her talk about her life. It's kind of like what Eileen said. He makes her feel important because Remy wasn't doing that. The judge, unfortunately for this new trial, won't allow Rob to testify via Zoom from England, and Rob refuses to fly to the States, which I was very mad about. Get yourself a vacation in New York City, Rob. Come on.
No, but maybe this was such a thing where work wouldn't allow him to take the time. This could be something else. And also, if the prosecution isn't paying for it, he might not be able to do it. We don't know the full story on this. I'm not going to get mad at Rob.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Okay.
I'm not disappointed in him. I'm disappointed in the situation because Rob doesn't get a vacation to New York. And it's a fun place to visit. And upstate New York looks beautiful.
He already went.
Yeah. No, he never went. He Zoomed the first time.
He Zoomed the first time? Oh, yeah. He should have. Maybe it was too painful. I don't know.
Also, sadly, the lead investigator.
Sorry. Also, maybe his wife found out about all this. It was like, absolutely not.
She does not want him to fly there. No.
Correct.
The lead investigator passed away at 53 from a heart attack, which is horrible. And that's not great. They would want him for the second trial. Then they get another blow. The blood on the sweatshirt was a mixture, and they can't tell what is blood and what is DNA. For example, it could have been Remy's blood on his sweatshirt and Jen's DNA, which obviously her DNA might be on his sweatshirt because they were married. It might not have been her blood.
My God. Why don't they have that? Is that just the sample sizes?
Sample sizes, and when it's a mixture, I think it's hard to tell.
Oh, brother. Okay.
Maybe in a few years. The defense attorneys also are finding new stuff. They find a witness who saw someone driving Jen's van hours after the timeline. And it's at a time when Remy was at home calling 911. So it couldn't have been him. And they mm-hmm. are sure, they don't know it was Remy driving, but they know that it was the van. This person does not have car blindness. And they're like, no, it was this van. Now, apparently Garcia was aware of this witness for the first trial and did not call him to the stand, because that would take away from the impact of having Remy be the only defense witness taking the stand.
Holy crap. He did not know how to do it. He didn't know how to call a witness.
No. He's like, do I fill out a form or what do I do?
Wow.
They hire a new expert who finds new male DNA under Jen's fingernails. She reanalyzes the data from the forensics, and it's unknown DNA under Jen's fingernails, but it's not Remy's. So they think it was a struggle with the real killer. I really do need to stop biting my nails, because there would be no proof there.
There you go. Okay, reason.
Yeah. Then we get ready for our latest, truly bats in the belfry interview on Dateline. We have had so many of these lately. My theory is that ever since COVID, people have just lost it. We're all just feral animals. And people used to try to control themselves on Dateline, and now they don't give an F.
I don't know what's going on.
Remy sits down with Andrea again, except now he has diphtheria and is sweating like he's on cocaine.
Or the wine. Okay, look, prison drugs are whack.
Yeah, we don't know what's in them.
You do not know.
Could
you're getting a strip of something from someone that they got mailed on the back of a stamp. It's it's all kinds of chemicals stuff happening there. Also, aren't they on Zoom? Andrea's safe, right? She's on Zoom for this. I believe this is a Zoom interview.
I'm not sure about that.
No, I think they say that Andrea hooked up with him on Zoom. I think that's why he's also a little extra brave.
Maybe.
I'm 90% sure.
Please, let's say that. Yeah. She had to sit down with him originally in person. That was probably enough.
That's enough.
He's also screaming every word he says, which is a new trait that he's picked up in prison.
God, he has to fight to be heard. There's lots of loud people. There's lots of Remy's in the pen.
It's a lot of, I'm wrongfully accused. I've always been wrongfully accused. And that's the tip of the iceberg. You may think I'm arrogant or this or that, but I have nothing to hide. I am a classic oversharer. But in all my interviews I've done, I've never said anything to incriminate myself. And Andrea just finds him so off-putting now.
Yeah, she's physically leaning back. She's like, no.
No. He says, the cops lied during the trial, and Garcia is a scumbag. He knows he's a scumbag.
Wow.
And Garcia chose not to go on Dateline this second time, but he tells them in a statement that he thought Remy was guilty from the beginning, which he basically admitted during his closing arguments.
Okay.
Andrea brings up Remy's perfect life quote, how he had the perfect life. And Remy goes, it was. It's the truth. My life was perfect. I had a great life, period. Remy, you were married to a Sunday school teacher and you were boning the Girl Scout troop leader. I know you learned about indoor voices and outdoor voices. This is one of those indoor voices situations. Stop screaming at Miss Andrea Canning, please.
No, he can't.
Andrea says, so you haven't reflected on the fact that you had another woman and it led to all this? And then drops us with a bombshell.
No.
He says, what do you mean I had another woman? And he uses air quotes.
Nope.
He says, what people don't understand and what I didn't want to say in my first interview with you back then, we had threesomes.
Nope.
It was my wife, Eileen, and myself, and there were no issues. Gross.
Oh, you dirty liar.
Ladies, raise your threesome standards. Be your own threesome, Prince Charming. Not that I believe this is true. Eileen says it's not true, and we all know it's not true.
It's not true, and it's so bizarre and weird and, like, besmirching everyone here, even though, whatever, just don't.
No, we're not king-shaming, but
this is a lie.
It's a lie.
No, it is besmirching, actually, to Jen. Who I think would be really upset for you to say this. You did kill her. She'd be upset about that too. But like, this is too far.
Yeah. Andrea says, so your life was on the line and you didn't tell police this vital information that you weren't cheating on Jen, that it was like an open marriage thing and she was involved and she was fine with it. And he says he's all pale and pasty and sweaty, and it sweats on his lip and it's almost flying off and hitting the camera.
That's a lot of sweat.
Or poor Andrea Canning, but hopefully she's not there. And he's like, the police didn't have anything on me. Why would I tell them that? So what about when you were on trial for murder? You could have mentioned it then.
No.
No? Okay. So Andrea switches the subject. She's like, how has it been being locked up in a cell all day? You clearly have a lot bottled up. Is this what you think about all day? And he says, not at all. Prison is easy. And I was like, even with the dysentery that you clearly have?
Even without? Oh.
Yeah, you don't understand. There's so much freedom in prison. I'm Mr. Corporate America, Charles Schwab, American Express, IBM. And Andrea just says, what are you talking about?
It's just like the Jabani and Kashi all over again, yeah. But now it's in prison. He's just saying names, dropping labels. It's weird.
He's literally bragging about how great prison is and what a big shot he is and how much money he has.
You're such a monster. You're such a monster.
He's like, have you ever been to prison? To Andrea Canning, which how dare you, sir?
Yeah, sir.
You know she has not been to prison.
Guard, take him back.
He says, it's hilarious. You can get anything you want in prison if you're looking for it. Remy won't be laughing when the people in charge of his prison watch this interview and do some massive shakedowns and all the other inmates blame him. That's what should be on the next season of 60 Days In. Also, how is this guy not getting beaten up every day in prison? Can you imagine being his bunkie in prison? Does everyone in his pod hate him?
I think that might be what's happening, is that maybe he's had to sort of be quieter. And so it's all coming out right now with Andrea. This, like, right. Volume is not something he's really able to do. He's not on the pecking order in a way that he's able to show his true Remy-ness.
Right. So she says, so you're telling us you're a shark in prison. And he goes, no, no, not me, but prison is a joke. There's so much freedom in prison. You can get anything you want. And Andrea says, you can get anything you want but freedom, which I thought was a good one, Andrea. And Andrea says, Remy, the last time you were on Dateline, people felt that you were very arrogant. And now you're here saying prison is easy. You sound arrogant again. And he's like, it's not arrogance. Prison is easy. Andrea says, I've forgotten how much energy you have, Remy.
Energy is such a nice word to use right now. Wow. Andrea shows some amazing restraint
she
here.
Does.
I'm impressed.
And he says, I'm Mr. Marathon. Does he have that TM'd? Is he trying to do shirts with that say Mr. Marathon?
The only reason I equated him to Michael Scott is there's a few episodes that I can't watch. One of them is the Scott's Tots.
Of course, yeah.
This was almost as hard to watch as that.
It's painful.
When he started to do the prison thing, I was like, oh, I can't.
Prison Mike. The worst thing about prison is the Dementors.
The Dementors. The gruel. It's gruel. Nothing
but
gruel.
They got caviar every day for me. Because I'm so big in prison. I'm prison Remy.
If he wasn't so terrible, it would be sad.
Yeah.
But it's not sad.
No. It's sad for us because we have to watch it. And it's sad for Andrea Canning.
And it's sad for his family. And it's really sad for Jen.
Yeah.
It's sad for anyone who's come in contact with him, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I do hope this interview airs in prison and his pod mates have to see this and they will mock him endlessly.
I have so much freedom. You can order DoorDash. You can just get whatever food you want. You get bagels in the morning.
He's probably has freedom because he's in protective custody because he's been beaten up so much.
That pale, pasty, sweaty skin might be from solitary.
Yeah. Or the guards just don't want to deal with him. The guards are so sick of him because he tries to befriend them and act like
Definitely.
He's really cool and do like fun handshakes with the guards. Like, let's create a handshake where we pound it, explode it, spin around, thumbs up, thumbs down. Do it. Like, he thinks they're bros.
And you know he's also constantly being like, I ran 26 marathons. He's also pulling that shenanigan and, like, doing, like, let's do push-up contests. Let's do this. Like, trying to prove his strength at the same time as he gets older and older and older.
He's showing pictures of Eileen and being like, I landed her. Can you believe I landed her?
Eileen, I hope you don't ever take a call from him. Please don't ever take a call from him.
No, I think she's done.
Okay, good.
Sadly, there's no second trial, and I was very bummed because I really want to see him on the stand this time. The defense asks for a plea, and the prosecutors go to talk to Jen's parents, and they agree if he'll admit that he's guilty. So he admits to a lesser charge of manslaughter, and he gets 22 years, and he's already served a bunch of time, so now he'll be out in about 8 or so years. So ladies, get ready. This eligible man will be out in your town running marathons for your pleasure. It's gross. He should be away from all people forever. Just because he's so annoying. Not just because he's a murderer.
How did this happen? And now, and he's like, okay, wait. What does he end it with? It's something about he doesn't actually admit that he's guilty.
Right. So he goes to Andrea and he says, no, I didn't do it. I'm innocent. And she says, but you said you did it. And he goes, I admitted it in court, but I am innocent. So he still won't admit that he did it. And she says, you have these great new attorneys. Why not fight this? And he says, how? With this jury? The jury's tainted. Are you kidding me?
It's a different jury every time. You're not getting the same jury,
people,
man.
I mean, everyone in your town, I'm sure, knows about you. And now you're going on Dateline. So everyone in the country knows about you. That's true. Andrea says, well, when you get out, are you going to like dedicate yourself to clearing your name? And he says, you're going to clear my name. You're going to do it for me. Find the DNA under my wife's fingernails. And Andrea just looks at him and goes, that's a promise I cannot make.
Okay, now I'm sure it's toilet wine because he doesn't know what Dateline is. he thinks Dateline is like an investigation team, like the Innocence Project that like goes in and hires people. No, I'm not kidding. I think he fully thinks that Dateline does that. They work for him.
Andrea's like, do you know who I am? I have 17 children and 3 full-time jobs. I'm not investigating anything. It's bad enough I had to sit here and talk to you today.
Remy, this was a waste of my time.
Yeah. He thinks this is like 48 hours when they bring on those random teams with like Werner Spitz and stuff.
Yeah, he thinks like Paul Holes is going to show up. What's wrong with him? Is that his name, Paul Holes?
Yes. Okay, yes. Good.
My God.
Yeah. So his son, Glenn, who's now an adult, thinks that his dad is innocent. And Andrea says, well, do you imagine what it'll be like when he gets out? He'll be getting out maybe in like 8 years. And he says, no, I can't really bother to think about it. I don't know what life will be like then. You know, I'm getting my degree in college and boxes, just lots of boxes.
No, Andrea, we're going to keep that. I've got a key on that one that's really, it's lost. We can't.
It's kind of shocking because every time she asks Glenn something, like, how do you think you'll feel about this? Or what do you think about this? And he's like, I don't really think about it.
Glenn is a hard interview.
He is a really hard interview, but you feel bad. I mean, he's a kid. He was a kid. I'm sure he's super traumatized.
He's a young man now.
He's a young man, but you kind of do probably go into like arrested development from when something like this happens.
Oh my God, yeah.
I feel terrible for him, but like she's trying to get like these good sound bites out of him and he keeps just saying, oh, I haven't really thought about it.
But that says so much. Like him not thinking about it says a lot more than he thinks it's saying.
Exactly.
I'm sure Andrea was sad.
Yeah, I'm sad for him.
Yeah.
Eileen wants Jen to be remembered as this beautiful woman who would do anything for anyone. And then Andrea says, people will probably remember you as the worst kind of friend.
Oh my God, Andrea.
I died. I expired.
Oh Andrea. God. Andrea, you said it out loud.
Out loud. And then Eileen just says, well, we know Andrea does not take lightly to cheating. She never has any episode. She goes hard on the other woman.
Yes.
And so Eileen just says so nicely. She's like, yeah, I can't take back what I've done, but I'll always remember the good times I had with Jen. And, you know, if I could say one thing to her, it would be how sorry I am. And I believe her. I do believe her.
That's good. Good, 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 good.
And brave of her to come on Dateline. Her interview is all from the first interview from 2018. But brave of her to come on, knowing how many people are going to judge her for it.
So she might be in Denmark. She might be in Copenhagen. Whole new life, new job.
Good for her.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. This is an unbelievable episode. It is.
It really is.
It's a must watch.
It is. This episode is dedicated to Elizabeth K. from Florida and Caroline R. from South Carolina.
Thank you, Elizabeth A. and Caroline
Elizabeth,
R.
I'm sorry I say so many things about Florida. I saw a 1-star review that said, I get it, Kimberly doesn't like our state. And I know that's what they meant. And I'm so sorry. Elizabeth, I know that's not from you because you're a Patreon. So I'm so sorry. And Caroline, I hope we get some more datelines in South Carolina so we can do some
that aren't
spot
Murdoch,
on accents.
That are not Murdoch related.
Yeah. Oh, I...
Well, actually, there is another Murdoch that might be coming. Okay.
Yeah.
Look, there are cases everywhere. California is no slouch. And also, Tennessee is no slouch. So...
Trust us. All states have messed up things going on. And your states are lucky because they have you ladies in them.
That is the truth, as Remy would say. That's right.
That is the truth. I have nothing to be sorry for. I didn't do anything wrong.
You ladies are the best and have also done nothing wrong. You're perfect. You have the perfect lives and the perfect taste in podcasts. Thank you so much for supporting us.
Okay, B-roll bonanza.
Fast as you can. Eileen walking by water. Full moon B-roll.
Oh, that's nice.
That was new. I'm going as fast as I can down mine. The defense team is lawyering, the new defense team.
Yeah.
We get lady. Oh, there is a lady in the... I don't know who she is, but when the guilty verdict is read, we get a shot of Remy. And behind it, there's a woman in blue that's just smiling ear
yes!
to ear. Who
I
is
gotta
that?
Go watch that. I don't know.
That is amazing. We
I love
also
her.
Get son Glenn at a coffee shop, and then we get a little bear statue out front of their house of Jen and Remy's, which mm-hmm. I don't know what that little bear was doing, but I liked him. And then we get the detectives walking by the freeway. Oh, the detective who passed away, RIP, walking by a freeway shoulder. And then we get Jason, the best friend of Remy, walking in nature. What did you get?
There's a close-up of a woman's hands with chipped green nail polish texting her lover.
I thought it was black. I show black on my TV.
Oh, it was green on mine. And
oh,
it
weird.
Was a reenactment.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, but it looked black. And I was like, that's not Jen. Because it was Jen supposedly texting.
No, it's stock footage of a woman texting, but for some reason, chipped fingernails, which mine are always, so it's fine. Jen's van has all these stickers on the back of her car for races. And the thing that makes me sad, because those are races he ran. And those stickers are on her car.
Are those races? I was asking my sister and my
no,
niece.
No, it's like 26.2 and things like that. And so it's sad because she doesn't run those races. That's his hobby.
Sorry, what's 26.2?
26.2 is marathon.
Is a marathon?
Yeah.
It's called 26.2 is the name of the marathon?
No, no. 26.2 is a marathon, isn't it?
What?
A marathon is 26.2 miles.
So then what's 50?
That's like a mega marathon, or I don't know what they'd call it.
And then wait, there's one more, and it's the 13.1, half
That's
marathon.
That's half a marathon.
Oh boy, I had no idea. Sorry. I don't know that life.
Well, these are their stories. Our friends, Rebecca yes. and Kevin, their podcast, like they have stickers for the back of your car that says, I watched 26.2 hours of Law and Order, and they call it... watching a Law and Order marathon.
I have so many more than that.
So yeah,
many
I know.
More hours of that. I know you do too.
But like that's his hobby with his mistress, your best friend, and they're on her car and that kind of made me sad.
That's messed up.
She should get some Camelot stickers on her car.
Yes.
Also Remy flexing like in that kid who's was never allowed to sit at the cool kids table at school and he's trying to make up for it in an adulthood and that's his whole personality. And that photo of Eileen and Remy down in the mud at the mud run, I thought is very symbolic. They were down in the mud together.
And they said later, pigs in mud.
Pigs in mud. You got it.
That's what mm-hmm. the defense attorney said.
Yep.
We need to talk about the photo that I sent you. This might go into fashion police, but it is Remy. And he has what I have coined as patch a stash because it's just hair
oh my God.
On the outer ends of his lip and no hair in the middle. Can you explain to me?
In the creases. It's like it's shaved, but he let the side... It's like eyebrow patches.
Like this.
They're in the creases. In yeah. your smile line is where he has hair, but the rest is shaved. That is insane.
It's messed up, and maybe that could be Instagram.
Wow, that's just so disturbing.
The world needs to know about that.
I don't want to bother people.
Patch a stash. Patchwork stash.
It's like quotation marks on oh, your face.
Oh, no. It's hair quotes.
It's hair quotes. That's so gross.
Hair quotes.
It's so gross.
I'm so sorry. That has been coined. I expect merch. Hair quotes.
New fashion trend. New facial hair trend.
I'm writing down it's circled, underlined, and a box around it. That's okay. Important. Okay. I haven't done a good one in a while. Thank God. Oh, I haven't lost it.
Brands unhappy being on Dateline and are now associated with murder. Running. IBM. Corporate America. Charles Schwab.
Prison.
Chobani. iPod Touch.
Oh, yes. There's so many. Kashi. Why did he drop all those names right in a... It's so weird.
He's trying to get sponsored like he was for the marathons.
We don't know what he was sponsored by.
No, he never said.
Imodium.
That's...
Adult diapers.
Adult, whatever. Yeah. Anti-diarrheal medication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nipple chafing cream. Your nipples chafe.
It was embarrassing enough that he wouldn't say
it. And then they bleed. And then they chafe again. And it's a vicious circle.
That's Andy, right?
Yeah. It's Andy Bernard.
Is that a real thing, though?
Oh, yeah.
I've never run a marathon. I don't know anything about marathons.
There are videos of people with, like, bloody nipples.
Ouch.
But you don't care because you just won the New York City Marathon.
You do care. Part of you has to care.
I would, but maybe
I would.
Not if you're really... You know what? What hobby that doesn't happen with?
Diamond painting. Nope.
Nope.
You'll be good to go. All right. Did you have any good titles for this?
Running from the Truth.
That's great.
Him? He thinks he's funny.
Yeah, seriously.
Instead of him, is he funny?
Yes, that's perfect.
Oversized lawsuit.
Oh, that's good.
With friends like these.
Yeah, for real.
I didn't have any other ones. I didn't have very good titles.
What about Too Happy to Kill? I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's good because we did have worth joining our Patreon supercast for the episode we did called Too Fat to Kill, which was a real Dateline.
That's a real Dateline title, folks.
And we did it. For a Patreon supercast.
They change titles of things all the time. They should just change it.
Too Size Beautiful to Kill? Question mark?
Yeah, question mark is important. How about, oh boy, I really only have one really good one, but I think it's very good. And it's instead of dirty laundry, how about guilty laundry?
Oh yeah, that's good.
Because I think that's why she did her laundry. I think it wasn't like the condescending thing that we're talking about. I think honestly, she was sleeping with Remy.
That makes perfect sense.
Jen didn't know at the time, and so she felt really bad and is like, let me help out around the house.
Yeah, can I bring you groceries? Can I cook dinner? What do you want?
Guilty laundry.
Mm-hmm.
So also, if someone does offer to do your laundry...
It's like a husband showing up with flowers for no reason. Guilty conscience.
That was the most... I felt like I ran a Remy-thon. It's really intense. Thank
you. My nipples are chafed.
Thank you. Seriously, thank you for that recap. Dateline, I don't want to see him again.
Please never again, dear God.
I don't care.
I don't care if he gets off and that's the new update. Actually, I don't mind. I think he's kind of a gift from TV Gold.
He is.
Like, I think he kind of is one of those people where you're like somebody on a Real Housewives and you're like, they were made for this.
Yeah, you can't stop watching. Like, well, you look away, but
some
you also need to
watching.
Know. Let me put it this way. My sister texted me after, because she had to watch the end by herself, like the very end, and it's like, you're not going to believe what happened. And so that's TV gold. You're right. Yep. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I guess thanks, Dateline.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Andrea, for suffering so all of us didn't have to.
Also, I have to go back and watch the talking Dateline about this. I have to.
Yeah, and we might start doing a thing. People have been asking us to recap Talking Dateline, which is Dateline's post-Dateline podcast episode. I thought we might, if there are like interesting things, we could talk about it for Patreon.
Yeah, absolutely.
We could like do a few minutes where we recap, where I tell you what they talked about on Talking Dateline. We might do that for Patreon.
Join our Patreon and find out.
Inception, podcast of a podcast.
This feels like Inception podcast.
And it would be called Talking Dateline.
It would?
Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah. I don't know. My insides feel weird, but I, that seems right, but it like makes my eye twitch a little bit. I feel.
Yeah.
Matrix. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like it. Let's do it.
Also, mad props to the person who was supposed to powder Remy's face and decided, nah.
No, he's in prison. She's on Zoom. I guarantee you no one was there.
Yes, there is always a producer and a camera person who would powder their face if they liked the person, and they were not going to do that for Remy.
Do you want to get near Remy's face?
Absolutely not. that prison cocaine just comes rubbing off on me.
Like something's happening, right?
Yeah.
Something's clearly really off in the prison interview.
Scurvy.
For sure. He needs lemons.
Maybe he has rabies.
The Remy.
Ramazan the race Remy, for a cure.
What is, sorry, say his last name for me.
Remy Ramazan rabies race for the cure.
Fun run race for the cure.
Fun run. Yeah.
It was a really big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, I love, you know what? That was as dumb. Not drinking water was as dumb as the Alfredo, was the carbo loading. It was that dumb where you're like, this is
I can't
that
drink
level.
Water. Rabies makes me afraid of water.
Irrational
Michael,
fear
that's
of
irrational.
Water.
Yeah.
I have to carbo load with Alfredo.
He is Michael Scott.
He's Michael Scott if Michael Scott was not pure, like actually good on the inside.
Good on the inside.
But was actually sour on the inside. Yeah. Bad. That would be, oh my God, I can't. It was just brilliant.
Thank you, everybody. We will see you next week and come to CrimeCon and don't watch alone, but do not watch with Remy.
No. And be your own.
Marathon.
Yeah.
Life is a marathon and not a sprint.
Be your best runner.
Yeah.
Run it well. I can't.
Run towards goodness.
Remy's knocked it out of me. I can't do it. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. My family has said the same thing about me and diamond paintings, which only started like 2 months ago, and yet I'm already deep. Kimberly's deep. She's lost herself.
She's deep into the DPs.
She's jonesing for the DP.
Sorry, that sounds gross.
Joni doesn't know, though, so we can keep it in. I'll explain it to you, Joni.
Don't Google it, Joni.
Don't Google it, Joni. Tops you're wearing.
Remember I bought you those Lululemon leggings? Remember they were $145 for no reason?
And they had the hamburger by the crotch.
I said Lululemon, not LuLaRoe.
<I'm> sorry. I hope you have that anti-chafing gel that I got you.
I had forgotten about the hamburger crotch. It's so gross. Love someone show up with flowers for no reason. Maybe not flowers.
You'd be suspicious.
I'm really interested in this puppet online. But it's sold already.
Sorry.
I was really sad about it. And I thought that Oliver bought it and he didn't. And I was like, oh, maybe my mom and my sister pooled for my birthday. Because I was like, I don't tend to want things like I wanted that.
Why didn't you send it? I would have bought it for you.
It was a professional puppet. So with the sticks and it was a custom made. So it was a cat. He was so good. I'll send you pictures of him because you're going to see why. The price was like, it's a lot to spend on a puppet.
Yeah.
It was like, I would do a YouTube video with that puppet.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I've been trying to get you to do a YouTube video.
If I had that puppet, I would do it.
That could have been a business expense.
I had already named him. It was too late. And then he's gone. I know. It's too late now.
Maybe we can contact the person who bought it and make him an offer.
That they can't refuse.
Yeah.